I don't know nothing about know-how.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
We open the whole thing up with Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcore, oldie but a goodie. Mm-hmm. What's going on? How are you, audience, people, our people? Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
Yeah, chat amongst yourselves. There's no way of gauging a response from you at this moment, but just open up to each other.
If you'd like to call the station, we're not here right now. You can call us, though. Thank you for listening. This is the show where we talk about nerd and geek. We drop knowledge on you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. So thank you again for listening. And we have a website where all of our stuff is, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We're also available on social media with exppoints.com/social. That's our landing page. Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, YouTube, Steam Community. All the stuff, like, subscribe, the verb, just verb, verbus.
You could check the internet.
That's a good place. Yeah, we're also streamable on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play Music podcasting services and Spotify and a number of, they're knockoff-y types of websites. They're the sites that, like, we're going to download your podcast and we're going to give it to people and that's, we got you. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, we're giving it away. We're giving it away.
It's free.
It's free. Like, that's how podcasts work.
They need only but ask.
We're not in, well, we don't pay any subscription fees for you to listen to Experience Points. And we don't have the audio in it, but whatever, the music in it. But
I think that would be a massive ego if we thought, like, we're worth a stipend a month.
Let me tell you how good we are.
We're not Netflix.
Buy us a Coke, you get to listen to a podcast. One podcast, one Coke.
I will say that.
Or one cola.
When I tutor people here at Southeastern, I do usually go.
Is that with a T or with a D? Are you a tutor or a tutor?
A tutor.
Tutor.
With a T, not a tutor.
No, you're not like a...
I don't marry them. And then I'm like, you know what? I hate this Catherine
lady.
That's
very Assassin's Creed of you over here. Very cool.
We're going to talk about what we did last week.
Yep.
That's how we start the
that's
show.
That's what we're coming up.
Okay. So last week...
Well, that's the next section. Are we doing this now?
Oh,
are we doing this now?
Are we? I thought we
were doing this. You know, carping them DMs. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I'm so excited about this because I absolutely love this. And I wanted to talk about it. It's a guy named brothers, I believe, Chad and Jared Moldenhauer.
Are they two brothers?
They're two
brothers.
Two brothers who are just regular brothers. Old women are coming. Rick and Morty. They developed a game released last week after being in development for, like, oh gosh, it was announced in 2013. It was 4 years of development for this game.
Is this Road Redemption?
This is Cuphead.
Oh, yeah, Cuphead. Okay, I was like, are we talking about local developers or? Mm-hmm. Okay.
They have a studio. This is their first game. Yep. It's called Studio MDHR, mm-hmm. or Studio Moldenhauer, named after the titular two. The game is. If you like Mega Man, it's very much in the alley.
God.
But if you just love good artwork, every frame, the reason why this game took so long was because every frame had to be hand-drawn.
Right.
And then scanned into the system. And then the only thing that they did computer-wise was coloring.
Yep.
And that was it.
It is a fantastic 1930s styled... Mm-hmm. Everything about it is those crazy old Porky Pig and Looney Tunes cartoons from the 30s.
Oh yeah,
it's so inspired, and I hate when people say inspired like, oh, it's very inspired. Well, yeah, big deal. Like Gears of War is not inspired.
Yeah,
Halo's not inspired. Like, those games aren't inspired. Minecraft's not inspired.
Maybe the first ones.
Well, maybe the first ones. But now it's a series. You don't do it.
Right.
Cuphead's actually very inspiring, I think. It's very inspired.
Well,
the aesthetics are amazing. The sounds are amazing. Everything is so themed and on point.
And it was very risky, too, because you had to have a lot of passion for these projects. These guys actually quit their regular... They had, like, normal regular jobs. And they quit it and left to make this game. Yeah. And
they're all in.
Oh, they were all in.
That's crazy.
And
well, not crazy, but I mean, that's dedication.
Yeah. And we're all the better for it because I have been playing it on a PC. And
it is not an easy game.
It is
a difficult game. But
holy,
you know what?
Moly.
I'm a big fan of, like, shmups, like shoot 'em ups, bullet hell type games where it's chaotic. but it is very, like, there is skill involved. There's,
oh, yeah.
There's pixel-perfect precision to moving your characters around. Cuphead is very reminiscent of that. It's some of the, I noticed in some of the boss encounters, because I've also been playing it, some of the boss encounters, a lot of them are randomized. Like, some of the phases, like,
oh,
each,
yeah.
boss, each
like
boss has, like, four or five phases.
Like,
and some of them are randomized.
Yeah.
And if you die on one of them, like, I felt, and I don't know if maybe I just felt like the game was giving it to me a little bit harder, but it would, like, start me at the phase I died on, and I'm like, why'd you do this? I can't.
Yeah,
I couldn't
I'm not
do
good
it the first
this.
Time. Can't you and randomize the four easy phases,
and
please?
There's no checkpoints to any
no,
of this. You
no.
die, you start from
you
the
start
beginning
over.
Of that fight.
Yeah.
And which is a great measure of the difficulty, but it's to me, it's Mega Man meets Dark Souls meets Steamboat Willie.
I definitely agree with Steamboat Willie, and I definitely agree with Mega Man, because I was thinking the entire time, I'm like, you know, I wanted this more than Mighty No. 9.
Yes.
I expected the amount of soul that Cuphead has, the amount of theme, and the amount of soul, and the amount of dedication, and the amount of love for the craft.
Yeah.
I expected that out of Mighty No. 9. And this isn't a talk junk about Mighty No. 9 segment, but
right, yeah.
I expected that out of that, not a pointless money
for
grab.
The amount of money that was put into that Kickstarter for Mighty No. 9.
Right,
that's unacceptable.
Right, and I don't know. I don't think Cuphead had a did Cuphead have a Kickstarter or crowdfunding phase? Or,
I believe it did.
It wasn't millions of dollars like Mighty No. 9 or several hundreds of thousands.
No. I don't think it was. I think it premiered as kind of a. It was part of the IG Xbox showcase.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do remember that from E3 like 2 or 3 years ago.
Three or four now, I believe, like 2000.
Oh, yeah,
wait,
we just had an
E3.
Yeah, yeah.
They showed off, like, these are the independent games that are going to come to Xbox. It was like a push for a selling point. And they showed off Cuphead.
Right.
Cuphead at that time was only a couple levels, maybe.
Right.
And it was not as big as it is now. Because now it's like a full-size game.
It's a full game.
That's
and
like, what, $20?
Yes, yeah, $20. That's the thing. It's $20.
Oh,
you'll beat it in less than 5 hours. You know,
depending on scale.
I mean, as long as you aren't that game journalist that spent 26 minutes trying to go through the tutorial level. And did you see that? This is ridiculous. It was a game journalist and was like, press jump. It's the tutorial level where it's like the shapes, the rudimentary shapes.
Yeah.
It's like jump and press shift to dash or press Y. You know, if you have a controller, press Y to dash. And he was like, he's stuck between the tall pillar and the short pillar. And he couldn't figure out how to jump between both of them. And he was like, honestly, just record your first 26 minutes and see what happens. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that because
it took me a minute.
Yeah, it took me, you probably did it instinctually. You're like, I didn't even register the text on the screen.
Yeah.
I just jumped and hit shift. It was so intuitive. So
if you're new to these kind of run and gun shooting things,
right.
You're going to be terrible at this.
Well, this guy, 25, he's like, I've written about games for 25 years. And I'm like, well, did you play them? Did you play any of your games? Because, you know, 25 years, Mario didn't have any dash, but I mean, this was a Mega Man X. This was a simple dash maneuver. I'm not going to talk about this guy, but I mean, it's not a unique experience. It's not like a Portal gun experience or something.
Yeah.
So, no, Cuphead's definitely a game that if you appreciate, like, I would say this isn't a genre-defining game because I don't know that we have a genre for, like, retro platformer boss shmups type games. But if we did decide to call that a genre, well, pretty limited. I would say there's a few indie games out there that that make use of, like, pixel art and everything very, very heavily. That's their theme. That's their aesthetic. That they could probably be in similar genres of this older, retro, sort of indie-titled genre. Cuphead is defining in that way.
Yes.
It is a small studio. It is extremely high quality, higher quality than Mass Effect Andromeda. They're incomparable in my opinion. You can't really say, even though I just totally did, you can't say that one is so on the same level as the other that you can compare them and make an adequate comparison.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems like more polish was added to Cuphead.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because of the type of game it was.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, like, I think I could do more 3D modeling than I can drawing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I think most people can, you know, because one's using tools and mirroring and, you know, it's not freehand.
And that's the thing about the game that gets me drawn into it is that it's so frustrating.
Gets you drawn into it.
It's so pretty.
It is.
It is so much hard work.
The noodle arm idle animation. Yeah. You're just so like, I'm looking at it, I'm just like, why is everything sequenced to like a click track or a beat or something? It's really great.
The amount of work they put into it and how gorgeous they make it, it's so frustrating. But because I just want to keep seeing it, it keeps me playing in a way that's like, oh gosh darn it.
I died again. One more time.
Here we go.
18 more times. Dang it.
I've died.
Heckin' darn it.
I've had to have died about 120 times.
I wonder. I haven't looked through the menus, but I bet there's a statistics screen that's like, here's how much you suck.
Like if it's below average or above average.
Right, right. Maybe I would hope that they actually, because Life is Strange did this where it took all of your choices in the game and it compared it against the global average of all the players.
Yeah, Persona did that too.
I would hope, Persona is probably one of the first that's been doing it. Mm-hmm. I would want to see like the average deaths, the mean time to completion for these bosses, just to kind of have like, because it's hard to say like global rankings because there's only local multiplayer. Mm-hmm. There's no like online multiplayer yet, and I doubt that they're going to add it. I think
the local multiplayer was kind of the way to do it.
Yeah, it's a couch game.
It's supposed to be
a couch game. So
you're not supposed to play it for 9 hours. You're supposed to play it for maybe an hour because that's all you can take.
Let's cut to a song, come back, and really do what we did last week because we kind of just like went super crazy on Cuphead.
We were super.
This
excited.
Is Sweep the Leg by No More Kings. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSL. You're still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
I'm still Dustin.
You just heard Sweep the Leg by No More Kings. This is the segment of the show where we talk about what we did last week. We already introed with how we're pretty much infatuated with Cuphead.
Yeah, we're pretty much in love with it.
If those two brothers want to come talk on the show.
Who played some dice?
That's it.
Old women are coming.
Dustin, what did you do last week? I mean,
I looked up things everyone forgot about.
Oh.
I did recon.
Recon?
I did. The first step of any successful operation is recon.
Hold on. Why don't we call research recon for everything?
I don't know, but I like it more and it sounds cooler.
I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to adopt it. We're going to start a campaign to replace research with recon because it's the same thing.
Did you find out what you wanted at Papa John's? Yeah.
Yeah, did some recon.
There were a couple of games I remembered seeing either a couple years ago, but they've been in the ether of my brain, but they all just kind of came out at once. And it was kind of a where are they now kind of thing. It was a behind the music of games. And I wanted to see if they went into development, the ether of development, and they just slipped away. Mm-hmm. The first one I checked out, I remember being really fascinated by this because I like the idea and I like the concept. It was a World War I horror game.
Okay.
It was called Ad Infinitum.
Don't you know that war is horror?
War never changes until it like really changes.
Until it goes to the future.
Totally goes to the future. Like it's like they
until
say
Call
that
of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Fallout says that in that game, and it always reminds me like you got plasma guns.
Yeah, war changed.
You got
war
robots.
You got big mutants. It changed.
It demonstrably changed.
Things changed. Like objectively changed.
Yes, but Ad Infinitum was a like this huge H.P. Lovecraftian-esque creature.
Okay.
And your objective was not to shoot a bunch of guys. It was to get through these puzzles and these avoid this creature. Showed off a little bit of gameplay, I think. And, you know, where is it now? And it seems like it's still being developed right now. They got press kits for it.
Okay.
Available. I might see if we can't
find something.
We'll see if we can't sneak something.
Get some stickers. Get some bumpers.
Maybe. Find out a little something. But I was curious. The other one that kind of disappeared into the ether, and which is a shame because I was really excited for it because I had some great E3s the last few years. It was announced back in 2012, I think. It's Mountain Blade Bannerlord.
Yep. Everyone talks about Mountain Blade.
Mountain Blade Bannerlord.
Did you play the originals?
Oh, yeah. I played Warband and even the other one, Fire and Sword. Mm-hmm. And I played them all, and I was really excited for this one because it looks really cool. You could play Siege Equipment. I was like, man, this looks really neat. I check their newsletter and it's just it's dead. A whole lot of anything.
Yeah.
And that's one I'm getting worried about.
Give it some time. They're going to slap some VR on it. It'll be VR. You operate a trebuchet or a catapult. Your choice. I'm not going to get into this debate.
Oh, goodness.
Trebuchets. It's always trebuchets.
Trebuchets. They have a greater range.
They can carry what a
they lack in mobility, they make up for it. Increased range and firepower. Yeah,
you don't need mobility. You just build one close and you build one far away.
It's done. A CG, Goober.
Right.
And catapults were never
great. We're not trying to. It's not a Ford Focus. We need to drive it. There, yeah. You know.
And catapults were never great anti-infantry weapons. They were.
We are just proving that you can geek out about anything.
Oh, and then I think what triggered all this was we found out. Big trailer dropped about a game that kind of...
We had talked about it earlier.
We talked about it earlier in the shows. We knew they were going to drop something on their own time, and that's exactly what they did.
That's precisely what they did. That's what they always do.
Red Dead Redemption 2 got a brand new trailer.
Thanks, Rockstar.
Showed and answered a slew of questions.
People are going absolutely mental about the game because... And you know, this is a testament to, like, the fans, right? The fans go crazy about things like this. They're trying to map out the map of the game from the trailer. They're looking at the scenes in the trailer, trying to figure out where it is in the world, and then trying to get relative geolocation data. It's crazy. Like, if we could we could solve all of these problems in the world. We can communicate with aliens if we just utilized our power
nerd
for something else. Nerd power. We need nerd power for something else.
So the trailer dropped, and immediately, not only did I have questions answered, I have brand new ones, of course, like as far as features and everything.
We know what it's going to be about. It's not a sequel. It is a prequel.
Which is fine. Which is, I think,
everyone... it's the Wild West. What do we want? A sequel where it's in the future? No,
yeah, we don't want that. We want... Grand Theft Auto was that.
Right.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is obviously a prequel, and it looks like they're going full on Wild West with this.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. I no longer worry about, and I haven't worried about this for a while. Star Citizen maybe a little bit, but I don't have to worry about game trailers being fully pre-rendered anymore. We know that it's going to be in engine. We know that ever since, I think the first ones that I really remember doing it was like Metal Gear Solid 2 or 3 or 4. Where they decided that we were going to do full in-game cutscenes with rigs.
I've seen a lot less cinematic trailers.
Or they're cinematic trailers in that because everybody's basing their games on customization. You can customize your character, your gender, your hair color. You know, BioWare and Bethesda has done this, so it's good that the only cutscenes that we really get that are pre-rendered that are cinematic are. Your ship that you can ever modify flying through space or something.
Well, it's usually partnered with some sort of... They still do cinematic trailers, but it's usually partnered with gameplay now.
Right. And that's I think that's really the important part here is that whenever we're looking at Red Dead Redemption 2's trailer, I don't know if any of it was pre-rendered.
I don't think so. I think that's all...
Rockstar did that in Grand Theft Auto 5. None of that was pre-rendered. I don't think there was a pre-rendered bit.
I remember them showing that off, like, this is all in engine, and I was like...
The interesting thing, I think, is that, that's, you know, Grand Theft Auto, I think, is a little bit easier because everything's shiny, metallic, and shiny chrome. Everything's angular. Everything is, you know, the character models don't have to be very lifelike or realistic, even though they kind of were. I mean, you could tell that there was not a...
There's a level of goofiness.
They shied away from the uncanny valley.
Yeah.
They pushed themselves and, hey, we're still a video game. We're not trying to be realistic. It's not...
it was parody.
It's not David Cage or whatever, you know? It's not trying to be very, very, very realistic. But whenever you change that to horses in a living world, like an older world, you have hair now. You have hair physics.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2. The Red Dead games have a level of grit to them.
You get into Witcher 3 territory.
Yeah, absolutely.
You put up or shut up when you're in Witcher 3 territory.
So as far as people guessing where this game is, I kind of knew because there was a leak a while ago.
Yeah.
And of course, I
those leaks matter. I mean,
they matter.
They don't come from nothing anymore now.
And they were confirmed and everything. A lot of people are like, we can't tell you who it is because they won't talk to us. But they're like IGN and a couple other people are like, this is a confirmed source.
Right.
So the map, the Red Dead Redemption takes place, and this was really confirmed in the trailer. I was so happy. Was it takes place in more southern area, kind of the middling ground between Texas and Louisiana, if you had to have a geographic kind of approximation, because you saw swamplands,
right? And it's hot and muggy all the time.
Yeah, our air is hot soup.
That's
basically
it.
How
when
it
you
is.
Walk outside, you immediately go, I didn't bring enough deodorant.
Nope.
I need to go to the store and buy more. I hope they don't
travel
like.
Travel stick is your friend.
Travel stick, thanks.
Yeah. But the, you know, some guy getting eaten by an alligator. And then they showed off stuff like, I think the heist system from Grand Theft Auto 5.
It's making its way into the Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption 2, because this guy's a full-on criminal.
Oh, yeah.
He's a full-on bad guy. You could tell.
You're definitely, you're in Dutch's gang. I think that's the main focus. Marston comes back, and he's there. You see Bill and Dutch kind of hanging out together and laughing up. And, you know, I get the feeling of like a Maverick. Like that, because whenever I see those games, I'm like, oh, that's Maverick with Mel Gibson. You know, yeah. Like that's what I get the feeling of, because it's so. Or what's that Gene Hackman movie where Gene Hackman and Russell Crowe and they shoot a bunch of people, and that's every movie with Wild West in it. The one where it's like Purgatory or I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The Quick and the Dead?
Quick and the Dead, yeah. Thanks.
I cannot believe I got that.
I was like, there's a fountain and he's changed to it and he's a preacher.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They just shoot everybody in the goofiest way.
I love games like that, you know, yeah. And I finally feel like we're finally able to be. And Red Dead Redemption wasn't bad. Like let's not say anything bad about Red Dead Redemption. It was, for the time, it was great. There were definitely some mechanical issues that they've worked out with. We've seen them work it out with GTA 5. So as long as it's not just a texture remap of GTA 5.
Yeah.
As long as it's not just that. And if it's anything more than that, it's going to be a top seller, game of the year, I'm sure, you know.
And it looks like they're adding some stuff as well, which stuff you could never do in GTA 5. So
I'll say this. It'll be game of the year unless Star Citizen actually releases. Or Beyond Good and Evil 2 actually releases. Or, you know, Nintendo has this breakout Zelda-like game that actually releases. If Metroid Prime 4 comes out next year, it potentially could just be insane. And
potentially, yes. But Metroid's kind of dipped in quality.
Well, and it's almost niche at this point.
Yeah. But the
everybody likes cowboys and Indians. Pow, pow, bullet, bullet, bullet gun.
Bullet, bullet, bullet gun. I love that. They look like they're adding dual wielding to the system, which I'm curious as to see how it would work. I'm excited to see how they're kind of like.
I'm hoping they don't go, and I don't know how they do it, but I'm hoping they don't go with like a bullet time, slow down thing. We get enough of that with VATS in Fallout. We play a lot of Fallout. We get that enough with Fallout. We had that with that whole 1999 Matrix Matrix effect in every
Enter
game
the Matrix,
type thing.
Yeah.
Well, in every game there was basically a bullet time thing, and fine, but we're done with it.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out. You know, not everything was Time Crisis or
Burnout.
Burnout was pretty good. I enjoyed Burnout.
That's the thing about Burnout and Fallout is they do it the best.
They do it the best, and they should be the ones that don't try to reinvent this thing, but also maybe don't just try to keep reusing this thing. Yeah. So. The trailer, spring 2018 is what they're saying.
Okay. That's early.
We'll believe you guys for now, but okay.
Yeah.
Don't toy with our emotions, Rockstar.
I don't think I can handle a delay. After
I'm okay.
A trailer
look,
like that.
And here's something I feel like video game developers, especially big, you know, whenever you're developing a video game, release dates are hard. You commit
they
to
really
a release
are.
Date. You don't want to say it'll be done when it's done, because then that just frustrates everybody. That's what everyone did with Duke Nukem, and that kind of sucked when it came out. That's what a lot of Valve games are. It's like, yeah, you know, we're working on it, but we're not going to tell you anything about it. Black
Duke
Box.
Nukem is the worst case of video game hot potato I've ever seen.
It absolutely is. But, you know, at the same time, you don't want to say, yeah, it'll be out in spring 2018. And then when you get to spring 2018, you're like, guys, can we crunch this? Can we crunch this down? And they're like, no, not really.
Rockstar, other people might try to crunch it.
Right.
You don't want a crunch job.
No, and Rockstar, I think, knows that. I hope everyone knows that now after Mass Effect Andromeda. After we've seen that and we see how much of a snafu that's been, don't crunch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a little bit. Okay, we know there's going to be a day one patch. It's going to be a 5-gig patch. Not the best scenario, but at least that patch does something.
Yes.
This was several months so bad that they decided we're not going to do it anymore. We're just going to abdicate responsibility and we're done. No one wants to do that, especially with a game that, you know, Red Dead Redemption. I imagine now in the world of season passes, there will be several updates, several DLCs to it. So I would expect it to be a little bit, hopefully, longer life. I mean, Rockstar games usually have a pretty long life.
Yeah.
And there's not much else going on at Rockstar right now. I'm sure they're working on the next Grand Theft Auto. I'm sure they're working on...
The only issue I have right now with Red Dead Redemption 2 is I don't have anything about PC.
It's going to be... Oh, Red Dead Redemption 1 wasn't out for PC, was it?
No, it was not. But
I don't
that,
know.
That, again, was 2008. Times it, hath
you
changed.
You know what? Grand Theft Auto always took a little bit of time. It lagged behind consoles. Mm-hmm. I think Grand Theft Auto 5 took an extra 9 months or a year mm-hmm. to come out on PC.
Yep.
But we have seen that shortened in other places. For instance, Destiny. Destiny's only a month or so behind its console release coming to PC.
I imagine
later
I'm probably going to end up buying the game twice.
I did that for Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, me too.
And it was, you know, I wanted the experience, and I'm wanting it now. Mm-hmm. But I really don't want to do that again. I mean, it's going to be a $60 game, so.
Yeah, I know, but we're going to have to. Are we going to be able to sit there for months and not be able to play Red Dead Redemption just to get it on PC?
I've been seeing
time?
People play Destiny 2, and I'm like, I really want to get in on that. But I know that I want it on PC more than I want it on console.
Yeah,
so.
And updates. But we're real quick, what did you do last week? That was all my answer.
Oh, man, look, I just watched the Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer over and over again. No,
listening to opera music, clicking the lamp on and off.
What did I do? So I played Fallout 4 a lot. I played Fallout 4. I played Oxygen Not Included. I am really enjoying both of those games. I tried getting into some Elite Dangerous. I got the Oculus and...
Oh, you did?
I did. I bought the Oculus a while back, and I really, really like the Oculus. The problem that I have with it is when you have the Oculus on, especially I have longer hair now. When I bought it or when I thought about buying it, I didn't have long hair. But it gets hot, or your hair gets between you and the goggles, so you have to constantly readjust. And once you find that perfect fit, like once you get... Like, it's when you're in bed and you, like, snuggle in the right way and you're like, gosh, heck and darn it, I forgot to turn the stove off or something.
Of course.
And you're like, maybe it'll be fine all night. Maybe I should just leave it on. And you're like, no, I got to get up and do it. And then you can never get comfortable again. Whenever you put the goggles on, you lose touch with the outside world. Like, I have the control stick so I can feel where they are, but my dog is in the, like, on the futon in the back, so if he needs to go out, he'll, like, come up and, like, try to get my attention. Most of the time, he's a dog. I just, like, open the thing. I was like, hey, what's the matter, buddy? And he's just like, nothing. I just want to look at you a bunch. And I'm like,
I love you so much.
I die for you. And I'm like, I die for you too, buddy. Just come on. I'm trying to play a game. I'm trying Spaceman, you know?
And the dog's like, do you think you can function without all the spatial awareness you probably need?
Right.
He's like, you're awfully inquisitive and intuitive for a dog.
He's very smart. Carson's a smart dog, but he's very much like, I'm just staring at you. And it's weird, but you can tell when something stares at you.
Yeah.
So I take off the goggles and I look at him. And he's just like wagging his tail, looking at me. And I'm like, are you okay? And that's really what I did all week. All I did all week was watch my dog watch me. Realistically, played Elite Dangerous, didn't do the goggles, didn't really get into it much, but I got into Fallout. I put a ton of mods on it, and I finally got the right EMB settings that I like. So I got depth of field, I got subtlety. Have you played Fallout 4? I just got Curie. And I did not go through the vault to get Curie the first time as a follower. I got my Creedy because he's like in your face. Piper's in your face. Kate eventually gets in your face. I wish she would get in my face, but you know, she gets in my face, you know, Preston Garvey, fine. Cogsworth, you know, dog meat, fine.
Yeah.
I never did get Curie. I got Curie and I'm like, well, this is cool. And then, there's a sport, not such a spoiler, but her follower mission is, or one of the follower missions, is to put her into a synth, because she's like this Mr. Handy that is like reprogrammed. Mm-hmm. You get her and you download her into a synth body, and whenever that happened, I'm like, oh, we're gonna do some stuff. We're gonna go around the wasteland. I'm gonna show you everything, girl.
Yeah,
I'm gonna show you.
I will show you the world. It's mostly destroyed.
It's mostly destroyed Boston right now, but it gets better. And then I think I discovered the Wasteland Workshop component, something I never did. I'm trying to go back through so I can work up to play through everything other than Far Harbor. I think I discovered the Wasteland Workshop because I hit a certain level and I got an access to a quest, and I listened to it and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go to this vault I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. I go to the vault and she's like, you have to clear out the rubble. I'm like, this is an oddly, you know, specific quest objective that I've never had to do in any other part of the game. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. Okay. And it's essentially a workshop.
Yeah.
A settlement workshop, except in an entire vault. And I clear it out, and I just keep clearing it out more and more and more. But I have like a better settlements or an enriched settlements or expanded settlements mod.
Oh, yeah.
So I can take out more than usual, and I usually use the scrap all command to just get rid of everything and start from scratch.
Yeah.
But when I do that, it removes some walls that go to nothing. So I immediately get this weird mirror, like infinite mirror effect.
Oh,
and if I walk into it, I fall through the world. So I've done that too many times. So I think I have to roll back to like an extremely previous save.
And just go.
And just manually remove the stuff.
Always, not to be whatever, as far as DLC is concerned, and we've talked about this, Fallout 4 should have had two pieces of paid DLC and the rest free.
Right.
And because the Wasteland Workshop and all that stuff makes me feel like I'm at work as a janitor.
It is, and I'm about to quit doing it because I don't care about it. There's this overseer in there, and she's like, I've been down here for 200 years. Now I can finally do the vault if you help me. And I'm like, you don't want to get out of here? And she's like, I've been waiting my entire life. I'm like, you'll never die. You can go and do everything. Why restrict yourself? You know what? Fine. The plot wills it. Okay.
Yeah.
But I did that, and then I went to that LSU game. LSU didn't do particularly well. It was their homecoming game. Apparently, they spent $900,000 to get a team to come and play them, and then they didn't win on their homecoming game. And I'm not going to sports out on anyone because I am certainly not the one to sports out on anybody, but I feel real bad for LSU fans this season. It's not doing really well. So.
Football.
Let's talk to let's do two songs, come back, and do some news. Mm-hmm. Power User by MC Frontalot and Professor Shy Guy with Mining Craft. MC Frontalot, MC Lars, Megaran, and a bunch of other guys are actually touring. And they'll be coming close. They'll be coming to Florida, and they might be coming to Texas around here in...
I think that's close enough.
I want to say like November. Yeah. It's going to be
all the
close.
Way in November?
I think November. Power User, AMC Frontalot, and Mining Craft by Professor Shy Guy. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Roy.
This is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Memorized on the first interact. Wrote the script.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
Is anything real?
Are we real?
I'm still Dustin.
That was Mining Craft by Professor Shy Guy. Before that, Power User by MC Frontalot. We actually themed that last song because something that's been happening for a long time, since 2013, was this guy, Mochi Hajikura.
Yeah, a little Sony shakeup here.
What?
Sony shakeup?
No. Eventually, that was. To stop giving them the spoilers to our new segment.
I'm sorry.
Mining Craft by Professor Shige was a tie-in to this guy, Mochi Hajikara. Since 2013, he's been trying to take this massive undertaking of redoing the Laputa Castle in the Sky in Minecraft. And
oh, goodness.
He just released it, and it is huge. When massive isn't even the right adjective, I think. It's an adjective, right?
Massive is an adjective,
massive.
Matthew.
Massive. Massive. I need to take another English class.
Massive.
No, it's so cool. If you haven't seen Laputa and you like anime, I would recommend it. It's a Ghibli film from the 80s, maybe early 90s. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe even late 70s because all their really awesome movies are very, very old.
Yeah.
But no, this is a fantastic recreation of the castle and the dungeons and all the roots coming down. Super, super great. So that was the tie-in for Mining Craft by Professor Shy Guy. Also, it's a sexy song, so I like listening.
I heard a Japanese name and I assumed.
Andrew... It's funny. So what Dustin was talking about was that...
I remember.
Andrew House, the CEO, current CEO of Sony, he's been at Sony for 27 years. He's been the CEO since 2011 when he replaced Kaz Hirai.
The traditional Japanese name of Andrew
Right,
House.
Kaz Hirai was the Japanese... He's very Japanese.
Yeah.
You may know Kaz from PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. He pioneered and I think it was a sound chip designer originally for Sony that became CEO, so
yeah.
Really awesome story there, and he was a super great president.
But in 2011, Kaz stepped down and was replaced by Andrew House. And Andrew House then was like, hey, PlayStation 4, guys. Really, really great run for the last 6 years. But for 27 years he's been at Sony, he will be leaving. He'll still be part of some committees, I think, and he'll be on some boards, I'm sure. You never really leave those big companies, but he'll leave as in, like, it's Bill Gates left.
It's like the Microsoft mob. You're in for life.
Yeah, you're in for life. You know, you're not leaving here. So he's being replaced by John Cadera. And, you know, I don't know what John Cadera does. I haven't looked that much into it, but, you know, high hopes. I'm a Sony fan more than I'm an Xbox, Microsoft, or Nintendo fan. So.
Anybody who listens to...
Oh, you are a Nintendo fan.
Well, anybody who listens to my show PopFlix, which is the other affiliate, knows that I have a distaste for Sony Motion Pictures of America.
Well, that's...
Sony as a video game company, though, is, I know, completely different.
Right.
So I know to separate the two. I like Sony, the games and the PlayStation and stuff. I think they shouldn't be... I'm not going to say they shouldn't be in the movie business, but, man, they need to figure out trying to do there. Because Pixels, Movie.
Okay, yeah.
Now that I start ratting these off...
You got some hate inside you.
Grown-ups, too.
Moving on, we and other video game company news, because then we got some short stuff.
Right.
Former sales manager at Square Enix, Koji Takada, he's a bad, naughty boy. He's been stockpiling these consoles. So from 2011 to 2013, he was a sales manager for Square Enix. And there were numerous contracts that come through his desk. And what he would say to these clients or to Square Enix is, hey, I need to buy consoles so I can fill these contracts. They're necessary, even though they weren't. He would buy them. He would take them home. He would stockpile them, wait a little bit, and he'd sell them for personal profit.
Yeah.
This is, of course, against the law, even in Japan. And even though it doesn't work there anymore, they're investigating, and they're going to find him guilty because he definitely did it. I think he admitted to it because that's the honorable thing to do, I guess. But
I like how you said even in Japan, like it's Mad Max.
Well,
in Japan.
There's a lot of weird stuff in Japan, like very different things in Japan. Like you could do things on a subway train in Japan that you can't do here.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just... I mean, a very specific example, I guess. A very vaguely specific example.
Looks like you've really researched this, Matt.
But if you're going to go to Japan, ride the subway. Or don't. That's a terrible joke. I'm sorry. You would think that this guy made millions of dollars doing this. No, apparently and this is the sad part, it only cost Square Enix $12,374. I love how that's very specific.
Yeah.
$12,374.
There was an accountant, it's like, I know exactly how much of
the sales manager's like, I know how much I'm screwing them, here's how much.
Yeah.
$12,374. That's no money, that's a used Hyundai. That's like a hatchback. It's a Civic.
A 2015.
You know? Right. Yeah. It's AC works.
I'm going to go to jail. It's going to be for more than 12 grand.
Quick side notes. Did you ever play Battlefield or Battlefront 2?
Yes, I did.
The original 2005?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's back.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's back. GOG and Steam crossplay, 64-player multiplayer. It is back.
They were absolutely slammed on their servers. I opened up my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
My Surface could play Battlefield 2.
Battlefront.
Oh, Battlefront 2.
I know. There's so many Battlefield front duties that...
I got to take a Battlefield duty.
Battle duty front call.
Front call of...
Call of front duty.
Shoot a man.
Shoot a man. Shoot him up.
War. But war I look changes. On my thing, and it has a 3.8 gig update or something like that. And I'm so confused.
How? The game was only 3 gigs.
Well, I thought to myself, like, there must be some sort of formatting issue that happened where it deleted some stuff and it's getting the stuff back. I was like, oh, okay, so a weird update happened. No, it's to get multiplayer back on. And I'm like, and EA got a lot of flack. And I think they changed their vice president or their president.
The vice president.
They changed their vice president up, which... After, I think, I want to say they're learning their lesson a little bit. Mass Effect Andromeda, I think, taught them the hard lesson of a rush job will always look like a rush job.
Right.
I think Battlefront 2, the new Star Wars Battlefront 2, is I'm really excited for it because
they need to take their time.
They need to take their time.
And maybe this is like, here you go, guys.
Yeah, kind of thing. They made an announcement on arcade mode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is for Battlefront?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, it's basically offline the battle maps right. offline, and which is a lot of fun for people who either can't, you know, have internet or just don't want to play the thing, and they have a single player campaign,
right?
And they have way more maps.
If they just want to just, you know, chew up some time doing something.
But it's hard to give them full credit because this should have been the actual first game.
Yeah, it's well, and you know, props to them for trying something new. Mm-hmm. Even though it was, everybody wants to use the new engine. Everyone, that's the mandate, use the new engine.
Frostbite.
Fine. Frostbite looks great. The game didn't look bad. It played bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't a quality experience. It was something that should have been a $15 like test. Like, we're going to buy this for $15. Everybody buys it. Everybody plays it.
It wasn't full release.
No. And this is definitely the game, the new one, the Battlefront 2, the new version, not the classic edition or whatever they're gearing this up as. It's going to be great. Yeah. You're a Nintendo fan. If you are also an Amazon Prime fan, Mario Odyssey, $48. That's $12 off the asking price. Pre-orders. You can do it right now up until release date, but they can run out. $48, Mario Odyssey, Amazon Prime. So
I almost don't want to announce this on the radio.
You don't want to let everyone else know. This is recorded. You can go and get it before.
Mine.
And then on the same vein of price drops, we've got Uncharted The Lost Legacy, now down to $30, down from $40, I think, on
I got
Amazon.
One for you, too. Middle Earth Shadow of War, $30 on GTA.com for PC.
Ooh.
I already picked it up.
I always use IsThereAnyDeal.com, and I recommend everyone do that, but...
IsThereAnyDeal.com.
IsThereAnyDeal.com.
Now I'm just learning about
is
that.
There? I don't know. I'm going to check it out.
All right, we are
out of time. Thanks for hanging out with us again. We have our audio that eventually will be cut and dried and put online, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P, exppoints.com/social is our social media landing page, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, YouTube, Steam community. We're available on iTunes and Stitcher for streaming, PayPal and Patreon if you want to donate. Thank you very much. And always, every Wednesday from 9 to 10, we're available to listen live on KSLU.org. So thanks for that. We're going to leave you with one song now. This is Gamma Unchained by the Megas. Really awesome. We'll catch everyone next week, next Wednesday. Actually, I will not be here next Wednesday. So we're going to figure it out.
We might have to do a classic show here or figure
classic
or,
show
or we might have that we'll just record later this
Justin
week
Pirate well. Radio
oh whoa.
We don't know
do a show by myself
that's and, it hi I'm Dustin just Arroyo yo
hey.
You know thanks for hanging out with us we're done with the band
that was a bad YouTuber
yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll catch you guys next week and in the future. If you have any questions, you know where we're at. Dustin, do you have any closing statements?
Hey, YouTubers, stop opening things up with dubstep. Other than that,
wow, 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 wow,
yeah.
I'm MG.
I'm Dustin Royal.
This has been the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Initialization complete. System activation in 3.02 minutes.